miyerkules ng Abo ngayon. Ash Wednesday. A very popular day in the church. That's why there's many people here. And if you go to the parishes, the churches, the masses are full of people on a Wednesday, middle of the week. The church says that what we're required to do on Ash Wednesday is fast and abstain. That's the only requirements, fasting and abstinence. But what everybody thinks is so important is to get the ashes. As if that's the most important thing to do, is get the ashes. That's not a requirement. You don't have to get ashes. You don't have to go to Mass. But fasting and abstinence is what marks this day. Now, ashes also mark this day, so don't get me wrong. It's a very good thing to be marked with the ashes. But let's not forget the reason for this. It's not simply so that we can have ashes or show other people that we have ashes or that Ash Wednesday has happened and we went to Mass. No, this is so that we begin Lent with the right disposition. In today's Gospel, Jesus gives us the guidelines, not only for Lent, but for every day. This is Christian life, almsgiving, prayer, and fasting. Every day, we're called to love God and love our neighbor and practice self-denial. So why do we make a big deal out of Lent, especially out of Ash Wednesday? It seems that it's because the Lord knows we need these reminders. We need special seasons and times. It's part of the rhythm of being a creature of time. Angels don't need Lent. They don't forget what they're supposed to do or get distracted or get bad habits or get lazy or anything like that. They're always the same. But we're not angels. And we live in time and we are used to the rhythms of time. There's a certain time when we should get up from bed. There's a certain time when we should work. There's a time when we should rest. There's a time when we should eat. And it's part of being a creature in time. And so we need times of celebration, but we also need times of penance. Times of greater self-discipline, of renewal, and of preparation for the great celebration to come, which is Easter. So Lent is this time, which we need, and I think we want it, we long for it. People get, I don't know if excited is the right word, but there's a certain anticipation of Ash Wednesday and Lent, and it comes a little bit later this year, and people are saying, well, it seems a little bit later. When is Lent going to start? Well, here in the Philippines, just wait for the hot weather. When the hot weather starts, you know, you've got to be close to Lent. Maybe that's why fasting is not very popular in the Philippines, because part of our offering of trials is the hot weather. And today's another hot day. There was a heat emergency on Monday. So you started Lent already. Let's look then at these three disciplines that Jesus teaches us. Notice that the first one he mentions is almsgiving. We would think, oh, prayer should be first because that's about God, or fasting because that's what we do in Lent. No, Jesus mentions alms first, meaning love of neighbor first. It's an interesting place to start, and perhaps, and this is not where the Old Testament starts. The Old Testament always starts with fasting and prayer. But Jesus says, no, what about alms? Don't make donations in a way that everybody knows. Don't blow a trumpet about it. Do it in secret. Why is it so important to be concerned about others? Because, first of all, that's the commandment, love our neighbor. But also because we tend to focus on ourselves. And it's hard to shake that. It's hard to break that pattern of being focused on ourselves. Either because we have problems and we're moaning and complaining about all things that are bad, or because we have ambitions and we have dreams and we're thinking about what we want to do, and we don't want other people to get in the way. So to break that, Jesus says, look at someone in need. Put before you someone who's suffering or in need, and let that break that self-focus, that egocentrism that enslaves us. I think this is why Bishop Mercado always, on the first day of Lent, always says, make a donation to the Hapagasa program, the feeding program for the undernourished children. And that's what we're doing today. I think you may have gotten the message. The collection today is all for the Hapagasa program. And so we're not, there's not a second collection. We're just offering in the one collection today. Everything we get will go to the Hapagasa, a fast to feed program. I think it's a good reminder to us. We're not here because we're so important, or because our project is the great thing, or because we think we're starting Lent so well. We're here for others. And if you're not moved by malnourished children, what are you moved by? If you're not concerned about children who don't have enough food to eat, there's something wrong with you. And that's a reminder to us of why Jesus mentions almsgiving first. Almsgiving is to get us to focus on the needs of others. Good start. Then he mentions prayer. I don't think I have to say too much about prayer, because it's obvious to us that prayer is our breath. If we don't pray, we're dead spiritually. Prayer is so important because God is so important. The first commandment is not love of neighbor. The first commandment is love of God. And if we're not loving God, we're dead. So in Lent, let us renew our relationship with God. We can't do that without prayer. So take some time with God, for God, in prayer. And there's lots of ways to pray. If you want to get ideas, look at the Christian or Catholic websites, and all of them have Lenten programs and Lenten prayers. There's so many of them, you can't even count them all. But if you don't want to make it complicated, just go to Mass every day. That's a beautiful way to observe Lent. It's a beautiful way to fulfill the requirement of prayer. So Jesus says, don't pray like a hypocrite. Don't make your prayer a big public statement. Make your prayer a renewal and strengthening of your relationship with God. Each one of us should decide how we're going to do that during Lent. And then the third one, fasting. Today's a fast day. Fasting is self-denial. And it goes along with almsgiving. That's why what we don't give to ourselves, we can give to others. What we deny ourselves frees us so that we can give to others, whether it's our food, or whether it's our money, whether it's our time. The church in our times expands the idea of fasting to include more than food, although food and drink is a simple and obvious area where we need to deny ourselves. Not that there's anything wrong with food, there's nothing wrong with desserts, there's nothing wrong with coffee or chocolate or anything, but we can make those things much more important than they really are, and then become enslaved by them. So self-denial is to break that. But we can fast from other things as well, and the church nowadays especially emphasizes fasting from social media. And this is a big one. I hear this over and over again. People get caught in their social media, or because they're using social media, they get caught in envy of all the different things they see, or they get desirous of all the products that they see, or they get caught up in gossip or judgment, or they get angry about all the bad things, or they get depressed because of all the problems. Okay. Don't subject yourself to a constant infusion of social media. Either cut it or limit it. And I think that's a very good practice of fasting. Okay, there's many, many other ways to do it. Each of us should today establish a program for how we're going to spend the next 40 days, not because of we want to be great, but because we're not great. And God is the one who makes us great. We're emptying ourselves, not filling ourselves. We're humbling ourselves, not raising ourselves up. We're taking the lower place, not blowing the trumpet, not standing on the street corner, not trying to attract attention, but placing ourselves before God and placing ourselves at the service of others and denying ourselves. If we do that, great way to start. Okay, what about the ashes? The readings don't say anything about ashes, but we use the ashes as a reminder of our call to repentance and as a reminder of our own mortality. Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Why? Because that truth sets us free from that grasp of egoism, that idea that our projects and our possessions and everything we do and our problems are so important. No. When we die, almost all of what we're so preoccupied with will be of no importance at all. But our acts of love of God and love of neighbor, will remain even after we die. So ashes remind us of the truth. It's not a morbid fascination with death. It's a reminder of the truth of the limitations of our life in this world, and a reminder that what we're preparing for, yes, is for Easter, but what we're really preparing for is eternal life. Eternal life comes after we die. So let us enter into a kind of death season for life. That's why we use the ashes.